Okay. Our Father, we thank you for a time like this. As we hear your word, our heart is open to your word. Yes.
Yes, as we hear your word today,
we receive the revelation that we found in your word. We say and we receive and we hear as we ought to hear. In the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, the eyes of our understanding is enlightened the more as we hear your word.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, brethren, let's move ahead. Okay, from last week, we saw that the scripture bore record of Christ, right?
We saw the scripture. Well, remember when we talk about, we said, when we talk about scripture, we are referring to what?
The Old Testament writing. Because in those days,
what they would call scripture is Genesis to Malachi, right? Because there was no Matthew scripture. So what they would have in the synagogue will be what?
The Old Testament writings, right? And that is what the Bible refers to as graphe.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Refers to it as graphe. So we looked at it that the scripture was centered on Christ.
Hallelujah.
So meaning, if you read through the Old Testament, you should not be looking at the Old Testament trying to get the stories of Ten Commandments and things like that. No, you should look at it with the eyes of what Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said we'll look at some scriptures.
Hallelujah. Which we're going to look at. The prophets in the Old Testament, from what we said, was their writings were centered on Christ, his suffering, and his entering into his glory. And entering into his glory will mean what?
In the believer. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 24. Let's start from Luke 24.
Luke chapter 24. Verses 25 into 27. Now, let's look at what he says. Now, Jesus came to them and said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart. Now, they were having, remember the background?
They were still contemplating if Jesus was arisen. Hallelujah. Amen.
So, Jesus came to them and said, O foolish ones. Now, do you see why he would call them foolish ones, slow to heart? Why would he call them slow to heart?
Because they are still contemplating. Is it true? Do you understand me? So he came and he told them, ought not Christ,
he said, slow to heart to believe in all that the prophet has spoken. He said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? Meaning they were aware that the Christ,
hallelujah. Now, let's take something from here.
The problem with them in the Old Testament was not on the fact that they did not know there was going to be a Christ. In fact, they had the understanding that there would be a Messiah.
Do you understand me? But it was written, okay, Moses wrote this in figurative sense, but other prophets after Moses wrote it literally. Do you understand me? Isaiah would say, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, right? So the shoulders will be on, the government will be on his shoulder, and his name shall be. Do you understand me?
Jonathan.
Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Do you understand?
So many they are aware. In fact, when Jesus spoke to them, to the Pharisees, concerning himself in Matthew chapter 19, they asked him a question.
They said, ought not the Messiah to be from the what? From the seed of David?
Do you understand me?
But they didn't know Jesus was of the seed of David. Do you understand me? But this one is suppressing.
Do you understand me?
So, if you look at John chapter 2, when Philip went to meet his brother Nathanael, he said, come see. I found the Christ whom the prophet spoke about. Meaning they are aware the prophet spoke about Christ.
Do you understand that?
So, that is why Jesus could now tell them, of not Christ to have suffered his sins and enter into his glory. Meaning they are aware. Are you understanding me?
Are you understanding me?
So the issue is not whether they knew whether there would be a Christ, they were aware. But you see,
there was a problem, and let's look at how Jesus will address it. He said, of not Christ to have suffered this and enter into his glory. Like I said, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them. I want us to take a cue on that word expound.
The word The word expound to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Meaning Jesus at that point opened within those periods, he opened from Genesis to Malachi and he told them the things concerning himself. Meaning, but they were aware.
So what was he talking about? Let's look at the word expound.
The word expound is from the word dia eminio.
Dia eminio.
D-I-E-M-E-R-N-E-U-O. It's the word, it's a compound word.
You have Emmanuel
and another word, dia. Now, the word dia means to cut through.
Do you understand me?
To cut across.
Do you understand me?
Another word, the word Emmanuel, is to interpret. Do you understand me?
Is to interpret. This then means listen, this then means Jesus cut through all the scriptures and gave an interpretation of the scriptures. Do you understand me?
Now the word interpret has got to do a whole lot in this context with language. Meaning Jesus now went through all the scriptures and expounded to them the language of the scriptures concerning himself. Do you understand me? They knew, but they didn't know from the writings of the prophet, they couldn't tell what and how it will take place. Do you understand me? They only knew the
Messiah will be born. The Sota.
The Sota will be born. The Sota will be the Savior. The Sota will be born.
Do you understand? But they were not aware of what he was going to do.
Do you understand me? And they can't even trace the Sota to Christ
or to Jesus. Do you understand me?
Do you understand me? To Jesus. They couldn't even trace it. Trace it to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Remember, he was not born into the earth and called Christ. He was born as Jesus. Hallelujah. Christ is not a title. Christ was an interpretation of what he did. Who do men say I am? Peter said, you are the Christ. Because of what he was going to do as the soldier.
Do you understand me?
So Christ is the name that describes what he did. Do you understand me? You know, he's the Sota. He's the Savior.
Do you understand me?
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So he went through the scriptures and what did he do? He opened the understanding. That was why in verse 32, the disciples would not say, these are hearts born within us when he expounded to us the scripture. The word expound is what I just said now. And that's where we get the English word, exegete, to go through something, to cut through. You know, this was what Paul told Timothy. He told Timothy, he said, Timothy, he said, study, be diligent to show thyself approved, to show thyself approved by God. You understand me? Not to God. Remember, I've corrected that the word is not to God. We don't show ourselves approved to God, but we show ourselves as one approved by God. Hallelujah. He said, as a workman that need not to be ashamed. Say rightly dividing. The word rightly divided is the word ototomio.
Hallelujah.
Ototomio. Sorry, ototomio. It means to make straight the words of truth. Meaning, listen, he said he should study. What was Timothy going to study? That is, I just quoted 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He said, what was Timothy going to study? Or what was he going to be diligent at? The teaching of wealth. The Old Testament. Do you understand me? Do you understand the explanation? And that is why Paul will call it mysterion, something that needs to be explained. What are you explaining? The language. There's a language used that needs to be explained. Do you understand me? The language. And remember, last week, when we were going through the language of the Old Testament, we saw how it was used in representation
in a figure to prefigure Christ. We saw the rock.
Did you see the rock?
How the rock was to prefigure Christ. Jonathan, did we look at that last week? Okay, we didn't look at that. Okay, we'll look at that today.
I thought we did that last week. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So okay, we looked at how Abraham and Isaac, right? And how the lamb that God provided was to tell Abraham what God was to do. God will be the one to provide the lamb. And he will be the one to do the sacrifice. You understand me? Hallelujah. Who is the lamb? Behold, the lamb of God will take away the sins of the world. John said, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So autotomio will mean to make straight. Make straight. Did you see that? No wonder Paul will now write to Timothy in chapter 3. He now says, for my child, you've known the holy scriptures. He said, which are able to make thee wise, sophisticated, clever, smart. You know what I mean? Which are able to make thee wise. Although what? Salvation, true faith which is in Christ. Hallelujah. What was he referring to? He said he was referring to the scriptures, the understanding of the Old Testament writing. You understand me? Jesus will tell them, okay, let's look at it. Jesus told them, he said in John chapter 5 verse 39, he said, you search the scriptures. The one to search is the one to investigate. Many of these guys were not just reading the scripture, they knew it. In fact, they carry the Torah, they know the Torah, they know the writings of Moses. You understand? And that was why they could argue with Christ in Matthew 19. You understand me? But then they never understood the interpretation of it. That was the issue. The interpretation, the explanation to those writings, they don't know. Because they don't understand the way, the mode of writing. You understand me? And that is why Paul in 2 Corinthians will now say there was a veil covering their minds when it was with Moses' word. But when the man returned to Christ, the veil is taken away. You understand that? You understand that? So that was the day. Glory to God. And in chapter 5 of John, verse 39, he said, but you will not come to my conclusion. Meaning, as they read, they knew that they will be a Messiah, but they will not come to the conclusion of the fact that those writings was to end up in Christ. You understand? It was to talk about what he will do. So, meaning they didn't understand the language of Moses. You understand me? They don't understand the language of the prophet. You understand? They don't understand that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are we on the same page? Okay, can we move ahead? Okay. So the message of what Christ was to do in the believer on your new birth was available in the Old Testament. Okay. Ah! When there's a new thing, the old is gone. The message was available. Right from the beginning of time. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus will say, I'm beginning at Moses. Do you understand me? You find them always say, beginning at Moses. Peter will talk, you say, from Moses and all the prophets. You find Moses having a significant stand in the writings of the New Testament. Why? Because Moses becomes the bedrock of what of the message of Christ. Because Moses carried the message of Christ. In verse 44 into 45 of John, you see what Jesus said about Moses. John 5 verse 44. Let's go there, everybody. John 5 44. Genesis was written by who? By Moses. Hallelujah. Can I look at Genesis? John 5 44. He said, how can you believe? Who receives honor? How can you believe who receives honor from another and do not seek honor that comes from the Holy Ghost? Do you not think that I shall accuse you to my Father? There is one who accuses you. We're going to get to that soon. There's one who accuses you. We'll get to this. Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me. Did you see that? If you believe Moses, you would believe me. Why? Let's read. He said, for he wrote about me. Did you see that? But if you do not believe his writing, how can you believe my words? Did you see that? So Moses spoke about Christ. Now, if Jesus said, beginning as Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself of the scriptures, it then means that the writings of Christ, meaning, it then means that the gospel was in Genesis. The gospel is in Exodus. Do you understand me? you'll find the gospel of Christ in every writing of Moses,
in every writing of the prophet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, what happened in the Old Testament, but the new birth wasn't possible. We said this, that the message of the new birth, the message of Christ, was available in the Old Testament. But the new birth was not possible, right? Was not possible until Christ came, and all that they needed, and all that they needed to do was to believe in what God will do through Christ. That was what we said. Right?
All they need to do is to believe in what God will do through Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we saw that from Hebrews chapter 10, when he said, he spoke about the judge shall live by their faith. Hallelujah. Habakkuk 2:3. And we saw that vision is not vision 2020. It's not vision of my year. I want promotion, I want this. No. The vision there is talking about Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you see? We got that explanation too last week, right? Did you listen to last week's message? The vision in Habakkuk. Write the vision. Make it plain. We're talking about Christ. Hallelujah. The vision was about the message of Christ. What Christ was to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we'll find in Hebrews chapter 4, it says they couldn't enter his rest because what? They didn't believe. Okay. Okay?
Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. Hebrews 12, 23. I'm going to be a bit very fast. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. It says, okay, I'll start from 22. He said, but you have come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect. Hallelujah.
The spirit of just men made perfect,
to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling, which speaks better things than that of
Abel.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay.
Glory to God. Now let's go ahead. Now it says from Hebrews chapter 12 verse 23. They who believe in the message in the Old Testament, who are they now? Those are the ones that is now called what? The spirit of just men. We saw the just men in chapter 10. The just shall live by his faith. Chapter 11, they became the elders. Hallelujah. Chapter 12, the Bible says, they are now the spirit of just men made perfect. So we can read that thing as, we have come to the spirit of just men made perfect, as we have come to the spirit of just men now made perfect. Because in chapter 11, they said they cannot be perfect without us. Do you understand me? Did you get that? Eh? So because of what Christ has done, they are now made perfect. Glory to God. Did you get that? Hallelujah. They are not made perfect because of what Christ has done. So, the Abraham, the Moses are now perfect. They are now the spirit of just men made perfect. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's go ahead. We went through so how are they made perfect? By what Jesus has done. His suffering and his entering into glory. So when somebody comes and tells you, Jesus has entered into glory, what does it mean? He is in the believer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So look at John chapter 5, verse 39 quickly. John 5, 39. We were there earlier. Let's go back there. Okay. I'll read from verse 39. Just follow me. Verse 39. John 5, verse 39. It says, you search the scriptures. Therefore, in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which what testify of me. The good record of me. Hallelujah. Who bore record of him? The scriptures. What is the scriptures? The Old Testament writings. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 40. It says, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I said, this is a figure of speech because they cannot come to him at that point. Hallelujah.
That's what I mean.
So he introduced a figure, you will not come to me, meaning you will not come to my conclusion. Do you understand me? You will not come to the conclusion of me.
So, what does this tell you? They believe. You see, remember we said something that they are what they're going to call, we saw it while we were starting off with the vine and the branches, that diverse interpretations, right? Diverse explanation. Now, that is exactly what these people have. They have diverse interpretations to the writings of Moses or to the writings of the prophets. They saw what Christ would do, and also they saw other things. Do you understand me? They saw the law. We keep the law. They forgot that everything is what? Together. Do you understand me? Do you understand that? They keep the Passover, not knowing he is the Passover. Do you understand? Because they couldn't understand the language of the Old Testament. Do you understand me? Because if you understand the language, you discover that everything is one. The Passover was Christ. So when the Passover, why was the Passover introduced? The Passover was introduced to celebrate what God did. Right? Right? To celebrate. So the Passover points to who? Their deliverance. And Jesus Christ said, he is the Passover. What does he mean? He is one that delivered you. Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us. So therefore, why they went through, why they came out from Egypt, Egypt will not signify Colossians 1:13. How do you understand how Paul was writing? When Paul was writing, he was looking at the scriptures, because the epistles are explanations of the scriptures. Epistles are explanations of the Old Testament, right? So when Paul wrote and said he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, what they had in mind was Egypt. And has translated us to the kingdom of his dear son. How? From Egypt they went to Canaan. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Now, Paul again in 1 Corinthians, that's why you read everything together. In 1 Corinthians, we said they went through. They were baptized in the Red Sea. I mean, they were baptized into Moses in the Red Sea. You read that before? Hallelujah. We'll also see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 today. Hallelujah. So the baptism, what happened at the Red Sea was not a story. It was to point to what will happen in Christ. The baptism of the Spirit. Hallelujah. When they drank of the rock, when Moses struck the rock and he drank the water, it was talking about Christ. Did you see that? Hallelujah. But they saw those things as events. They saw those things as stories. Do you understand me? And they couldn't pick, they couldn't place these things together. Do you understand that? Eh? So they couldn't understand the language. Now that's why Jesus has said, but you will not come to my conclusion. Bring to the conclusion of me. Meaning the scripture talks of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you went ahead to now say in verse 42. He said, I mean verse 35. He says, do not think I shall accuse you to the Father. There's one who accuses you. He says, Moses in whom you trust. Hallelujah. For if you had believed Moses, you would believe me. For he wrote of me. Let's look at the word accuse. The word accuse is from the Greek word kategorio. 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 Anyone. K-A-T-A-G-O-R-E-O. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kategorio. Kategorio means, it implies to make an accusation before a judge. When one accuses somebody else in front of a judge, that is just a literal, just a what it implies. Hallelujah. Now, Moses' accusation will be because of the unbelief of the audience, the hardness of their heart. They say, Moses accused you. Moses is the one who does. Why would he? But Jesus said he spoke of me. Did you not see? Does that tell you something? Look at John chapter 1, verse 14. It says, verse 15. See, John bore witness and cried out, saying, this is he of whom I said he's coming after me. He's prepared before me, for he was before me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, he said, verse 16 into 17, and of his fullness we have all received grace or grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. What does this tell you? The law was given through Moses. Listen, the law was given through Moses. What would he refer to as the law? Ten Commandments? No. No. Do you understand me? Did you get that? No. What
would not be referred to as the law. Listen, if you read through from verse 1, if you are in, if you just speak up verse 17, say the law. The law. Now, the law will not be all of Moses' writings, which includes both the law. Do you understand me? Now, Moses' writings was, do you understand, the law was given through Moses. You have to say great and truth came through Jesus. Now, listen. If you go to chapter 5, you don't understand what he was saying in chapter 1. Chapter 5 now said, Moses wrote of me. Did you get that? That means if the law was given through Moses, listen, if the law was given through Moses and Moses wrote of Christ, that means grace and truth, listen, was contained in Moses. If Moses spoke of Christ. So Jesus became the, listen, how do you understand that? Now Jesus became the how should I put it now? Okay, let me read it for you this way. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You will now put it this way and say the law was given by Moses, and the law will not mean, remember I said law means all the writings of Moses. In Galatians, Paul, let's go to Galatians first. I'm coming back. Galatians, let's go to Galatians. Verse chapter 4, verse 21. Let's look at what Paul wrote. He said, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? He wants to quote the law. Do you not hear the law? Look at verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons. Abraham had two sons is in what book? Which book? Genesis. Is Genesis, does it contain law? But it was referred to as what? In the law. Did you get that? Did you get that? So therefore, do you understand what I'm trying to show you? Because it was Moses' writing, it was called, all Moses' writing, most times they are referred to as the law. Not necessarily, most times it's not necessarily the Ten Commandments. That's why you have to read in context. Do you understand this? Do you understand? Hallelujah. 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 Now you don't say grace and truth. Now grace and truth, which is, listen. Is Moses wrote of Christ? Listen. Now grace, which is truth. Listen, which is the truth, came through Jesus. It will now be Jesus is now let me put it like this. Jesus is now the logos of Moses' rhema. Do you understand me?
Okay. John 1:14.
And the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Did you understand me? So now, Moses' writings of Christ became a reality in Christ, in Jesus on the earth. Did you get that now? Okay. Do you understand me? Moses' writing about the Messiah, about the Soter, will not be, Moses' writing about it will not be Christ. Do you understand me? Because if Jesus said Moses wrote of me, listen, if Jesus will say Moses wrote of me, it means Moses has written of grace also. Do you understand me? Do you understand me? So that Moses' writing of grace, which is truth, is Christ. Do you understand me?
Hallelujah.
We'll look at Moses' writing. Maybe when we get to Moses a bit, we'll understand. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We will still have time to break through on this. Very well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we go ahead? Now, it says, we are actually looking at the word categorio, right? To make accusation. Now, it says it was Moses, who accuses you? Meaning, Moses, I will accuse them because they rejected the gospel. Do you understand that? Category, to accuse, to condemn in front of a church. So Moses will condemn you. But Moses condemned them because of their unbelief. They rejected the message. So Moses will now condemn them. Do you understand me? Let's look at Acts chapter 7. Acts 7 verse 36 into 39. Acts chapter 7. It says, okay, but I will start from verse 34. This is the writings, the message of Stephen. Start from verse 35. This Moses, whom they rejected, saying, listen, they rejected Moses. Now, when Stephen was quoting this thing, was teaching them, or was explaining himself, but I call it his teaching, do you understand? When Stephen was explaining his scriptures, he was explaining his explanation was of the Old Testament. So let's see. And the end point was who? Christ. Peter preached in Acts 2, Acts 3. The end product was what? The end, he arrived as where? Christ. Meaning the end of every message must reveal Christ, Him glorified. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Amen. Very important. Now, let's look at it. Verse 35. He said, this Moses, whom they rejected, saying, who made you ruler of, who made you a ruler and judge? Is the one God sent to be the ruler and the deliverer by the hands of the angel who appeared to him in the bush? Stephen said, the angel appeared to him in the bush. I love that. We'll deal with that when we talk, when we begin to discuss on that topic. Hallelujah. Now, verse 36, say, he brought them out after he had shown them wonders and signs. Take note of this. Wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. Verse 37. This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, the Lord your God will raise you up, will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear. Did you see what Moses said? Who was Moses referring to? What's referring to Christ? When did Moses say this? When Stephen was quoting that, Stephen was quoting from Deuteronomy 18 verse 5. You understand? He was quoting directly. He said, and the Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me. Now that means Moses was talking about Christ. You understand me? That prophet was Christ. Like me, whom you shall hear. Since you have refused to hear me, you will hear him. Hallelujah. Verse 38. Said, this is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness. Listen, this is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with your fathers. The one who received the living oracles to give to us, whom our fathers could not obey, but rejected. In their hearts, they turned back to Egypt. Did you see that? And in their hearts, they were already in Egypt. Egypt will signify flesh. Will signify the walk in flesh. To walk in the flesh. Do you understand me? Do you understand me? Hallelujah. So in their hearts, they were in Egypt. Disobedience, unbelief. That was what Stephen showed them. In their hearts was unbelief. Hallelujah. Did you see why Moses would not accuse them because of their unbelief? Hallelujah. Look at verse 40. They say to Aaron, make us gods to go before us. As for Moses, he who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days, offered sacrifice to idols, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship of... Listen, he said, and God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. What does it say? Do you offer me slaughtered animals and sacrifice during 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? Who wrote this? Amos. You also took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god, Rapha, images which you made to worship, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Did you see? What was Stephen doing? Stephen was cutting through the scripture. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, in Stephen's word, we saw that Moses spoke of Christ. Hallelujah. Which Jesus confirmed when he said, if
Moses wrote of you. If you believe Moses, you will believe me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So we see the reason why Moses were accused then in the scripture was because of their unbelief.
Now we saw that in verse 39 when they said they disobeyed him, they rejected what Moses gave to them. Hallelujah. 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 So what can we say from John 5:36? We can say, John 5:46, we can say the words of Moses and the words of Christ were the same. You understand me? So it's the same. Because what Moses said was what Christ said. Christ did not say anything contrary to what Moses said. When Moses said to them, when they came to meet Jesus and said, Jesus was explaining Moses. And he said, Moses said to you, love your enemies. Love your neighbors and hate your enemies. Jesus now said, I do not say to you, but I say to you, love your neighbors and pray for them who Jesus told him, love your enemies and pray for them who constantly persecute you. Moses told them, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. Jesus was not contradicting what Moses said. You understand me? Jesus only gave a description of who the enemy was. You understand me? So what Jesus did was to pick out what Moses said, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. Listen. Jesus did not say you should love. Neither did Jesus say you should love the enemy. No. Do you understand? But he picked out something. He said, love your enemies. Did you hear the word? And pray for them who constantly persecute you. Meaning he automatically drew a line between what Moses said and he gave note of who the enemy was. The enemy is the devil. But for your neighbors, he said, show them love. Do you understand me? You get that? So what Moses was saying, that you should hate your enemies, was not saying you should hate your neighbors. He was referring to the enemy. Do you understand me? You get that? So Jesus went ahead and expounded to them what the enemy is. So the enemy is not your neighbor, now the enemy is the devil. Do you understand me? So that's why I said, but I said to you, love that your enemy. Because what is the background? They were thinking their enemy was the next person. So he said, that your enemy, love your enemy. Pray for the one that first constantly persecutes you. Then that is what he was taking their eyes away from who they thought was an enemy and point it to whom Moses was really pointing at, which is the devil. Did you understand that? Did you get that? So Jesus gave explanation to Moses. Jesus did not contradict Moses. Did you get that? Jesus did not contradict Moses. Hallelujah. 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 Okay. So very soon we'll look at Jesus' explanation of Moses in the course of the year. We'll look at Jesus' explanation of Moses. Then we'll go through the scriptures, look at the words of Christ. And look at how we explain the book, the words of Moses. I'll look at it from the light of the epistles. You understand? The same way too, we'll have a teaching on the miracles of Christ and the message behind the miracles. We'll look at that too. Hallelujah. The miracles of Christ and the message behind the miracles. We'll look at that too. Hallelujah. Very important. Those are important studies for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead. So we need to know the audience of Moses. Why would Moses achieve them? Remember we said it was because of his audience and their unbelief. Do you understand? Now we need to know what is the audience of Moses. So we can understand how he wrote to them. Do you understand that? The audience of Moses was an audience of unbelief. That is, an hardened heart. Matthew 19 verse 8. When Jesus Christ said, Moses wrote this to you because of the hardness of your heart, stiffness. Hallelujah. We find that also in Hebrews chapter 4 verse. Hebrews 4 verse 1 to 7. He says, he told them, do not harden your heart like in the days of provocation. Hallelujah. Can we look at it? Hebrews chapter 4. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Thomas said, therefore, since the promise remains of entering into this rest, let us see at least any of you seems to come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Said, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not be mixed with faith in those who heard it. For if they have believed, for we who have believed do enter that rest, as it is said. So I swore by my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he had spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all the works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that they must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached do not enter because of disobedience. Hallelujah. Mark that word, disobedience. Again, he designates a day, a certain day, say today, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, not Jesus, Joshua, hallelujah, then he would not have the word spoken of another day. Hallelujah. Do not harden your heart. So there were people that have a hardened heart. Even after a long time, in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 3, into 4, and the Lord said unto me, Son of man, I sent thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation. He called them what? Rebellious nation. They have rebelled against me, and their fathers have transgressed against me, even to this very day, for they are impudent children, and thief men. Did you see that? I do not send thee unto them, and thou shalt say to them, thus saith the Lord God. Hallelujah. You see, even to the days of Ezekiel, God called them hardened, rebellious, stiff-necked. Hallelujah. The word rebellious is from the Hebrew word marad, M-A-R-A-D, which implies to revolt. Marad, M-A-R-A-D, it implies to revolt. Revolt, hallelujah. Or stand in the view of opposition. To stand in the view of opposition. Marad is the Hebrew word. To stand to oppose. Hallelujah. You find the same word used in Numbers 14 verse 9, Joshua 22 verse 16, 2 Kings 18 verse 24. One interesting thing here is that when you see the word rebel, is when people rebel against the king or somebody stronger than them. That's when people revolt against somebody stronger than them. Stand in opposition. Hallelujah. Right, in Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 27, Moses called them stiff-necked. Deuteronomy 32 verse 27. Moses himself called the people stiff-necked. Let's look at it. Deuteronomy 32 verse 27. Let's look at it. I want everybody to rush there. Deuteronomy 32 verse 27. It says, so that's 31:27, it was a mistake. It says, for I know your rebellion and your stiffness. Moses was talking to them. Now look at why Moses gave them the law. Let's look at this critically. He says, for I know your rebellion and your stiffness. If today, while I'm yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord, how much more after my death, gathered to me all the elders now. That was why he gave them the law. They were rebellious, stiff-necked. The word stiff-necked was translated from the Hebrew word kashar. From the Hebrew word stiff-necked. So the Hebrew word kashar. Q-S-Q-A-A-Q-A-S-H-A-H. Kashar. It implies harden. To harden one's heart. To harden one's heart. That is, it means unbelief. It is the same word in the Greek that is called sklerono. In Hebrews chapter 3 verse 8, sklerono, S-K-L-E-R-U-N-O. R-U-N-O, in Hebrew. In Greek, sorry. You find it in Hebrews 3 verse 8, harden not your heart. Verse 13, harden not your heart.
chapter 4, verse 7. Have it not your heart. Acts chapter 9, verse 19.
The same word used.
It is the word used in describing the word. Skelo is the word used in describing unbelief. Unbelief. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now,
by just leaving the introduction of today's message,
I just want to say, what the Lord was in recap.
Because of Moses' audience, he will speak the word of God to them the way he gave or the way he did in symbols.
Or in figure of speech.
In figures. Because of his audience, he will speak the word of God to them the way he did. He used figure of speech to express what he said to them that God will do through Christ. He will use figure of speech to tell them what God will do through Christ.
You know, it was not only Moses that did so. Remember I said let me tell you something. Jesus never invented any words of his own. All Jesus' words, you will find them in Moses. So Jesus will now, remember when Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, he doesn't talk to them normal. He will talk to them with dark things, with parables. Remember I said parables is the Greek word for cross to the other side. So you have to cross back to the other side. So Jesus will always tell them things in parables, which confirms Psalm 78 in dark things. But the devil that is, will talk to them in dark things. That is in figures. In figures. So Jesus Christ will want to explain the things of God. He will say, the kingdom of heaven. He will say the kingdom of heaven can be likened unto a man. Can be likened unto a tree. He will not tell them that because of the hardness of their heart. You understand me? And that was how Moses wrote to them. That was how the prophets wrote to them. To the point that Jeremiah will want to tell them of what they've done or of about sin, he will go to the village square or to the center square and eat feces. Jonathan, in that thing, in figures. Jonathan, he will write to them in figures. But he will tell his disciples, it is given for to you to understand this thing. And he will call his disciples apart and explain to them. Why will he explain to the disciples? Because he will not talk to them in that thing. Remember, Jesus will say, in hearing they do not hear. Where was he quoting from? Was quoting from the Psalms. In hearing they do not hear. I mean, from the prophets, they do not hear. You understand me? In seeing they do not see. What was he describing? What was the prophet describing? Was describing their unbelief. You understand me? That was unbelief. You understand me? In hearing they do not hear. Their dull of hearing was describing unbelief. Do you grab unbelief? So it tells you the kind of atmosphere. Moses had people that he led out, close to how many millions, and all of them together were walking in unbelief. So tell me how you will communicate the things you have seen in the mountain. Remember God told him, do it as you have shown you. How will he communicate to them the things, the oracles of God, what God will do in Christ, when they have unbelief? So that's why he will not use figures. He will not use symbols. He will not use things around. He will not use the miracle signs and wonders to tell them of what God will do in Christ. Do you understand me? He will not use that to tell them what God will do in Christ. So, this actually stands against those people who say the Bible contradicts. That would never contradict itself. It's just that people have not read the Bible in full. You read the Bible holistically. You're not expected to jump and start reading Exodus when you've not read from Genesis. The writings of Moses was done in such a way that in those days, the Moses writings were kept secret. You know what I mean? You read Moses writings together. You don't just read Abraham and think Abraham is one old man that never gave birth to a child. No. What Moses did was Moses used life events. Listen, life events. Moses used events of life. People that have, as an event of people that were that were on the earth before him, you know that, and he will not use those events to minister Christ. So he will not write of everybody in the earth, but he will write about the ones where you will find salvation through faith. Do you understand me? Do you understand me? So that's why you see him pick two. You pick of Isaac and Ishmael. Do you understand me? Isaac and Ishmael. You find that Ishmael came before Isaac. But Isaac, the promise of Isaac came before Ishmael.
Do you understand me?
Ishmael will not signify those walking in the flesh. Do you understand me? But the promise came before.
You find those words and you find the explanation in Galatians.
Do you understand me? You find Sarah and Hagar. You find Esau and Jacob. Do you understand me?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So these are not those ordinary stories. No. No, these are stories that you will find salvation.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Do you understand that? So when you go through the scriptures, the Bible says, Paul tells Timothy that you are now wise. You are now wise, sophizo. You are now wise, smart as regards salvation. You are now intelligent as regards salvation.
Hallelujah. So the scripture is not something you rush over. The scripture is something you study and meditate upon together.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you're not intended to just carry Joshua chapter 17. Let me read.
No, you're supposed to have read from chapter 1. And you read as if there is no verse or chapter. It is a write-up. When they were writing, they were not written in chapter.
So you read it all and you understand.
Do you understand me? Hallelujah.
In the coming years, the church of Christ will no longer give heed to chapters and verses. They will only use it for references.
They will see the scripture and contextual reading in the church
will gain much more ground in the coming years.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That the church will speak of one voice. We will only say one thing.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's because of diverse doctrine. People are just reading anyhow.
Hallelujah. For example, remember I said Jesus will speak, and the Moses will now use figures, and Jesus Christ too will use figures too. Hallelujah. Just like when we'll get there by tomorrow.
1 Corinthians chapter 10.
Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Everybody, let's go there.
Let's see an explanation to something. Even if this, we've not even gone halfway into what we have for today. Halfway. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I wanted us to run through, start talking about the leading of the Spirit by next week. But the way it is, we might not get to the leading of the Spirit even by next week. We're still talking in dwelling. Still talking about
Hallelujah.
We're still talking about the indwelling, the new birth. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But we need to understand the new birth very well. And I'm ready to take my time.
Hallelujah. So we understand it very well.
1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 1. It says, from verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, remember you must have read from chapter 1. I will not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Listen to that. They all passed through the sea.
Remember this explanation. When Paul was writing this,
he had where in mind. Remember last week we looked at Hebrews chapter 11, how we moved from Genesis. We looked at Hebrews 11, how he was explained from Genesis 15 to Genesis 21. Right? Now, when Paul had this, when Paul was writing this, Paul had Exodus in mind. Do you understand me? So the church in those days will carry Exodus.
Just the same way, I'm reading this now and I'm giving you the explanation, right? I'm explaining what Paul would say. You have your Bible in your lap. What you have in their lap is the Old Testament. Do you understand me? Do you get?
And the explanation is coming forth. Just like what we read in Acts 13, the last week, right?
Hallelujah. But of our brethren, I would not
that you be ignorant.
How that our fathers were under the cloud and not passed through the sea.
And we're all baptized unto Moses
in the cloud and in the sea. You see that? We're baptized into that was to show you something.
Hallelujah. And in the sea. Say, and all eat the same spiritual meat. And all drink the same spiritual drink. For the drink of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ.
You see that? The drink of the rock. You see that rock was Christ. When Moses was reading this, he had Exodus in mind.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What was it having in Exodus? Exodus 17 verse 6, Numbers 20 verse 8 to 10. So, when Paul made mention of spiritual drink and rock, I
systematically didn't want to talk about the other one because concerning the cloud and the water,
because Because we're going to look at it when we talk, start talking about salvation in the Old Testament. I really want to talk about this. I want to spend much time here. So I'm trying, I cannot talk about it. Even if I've spoken about it already before. Right? Hallelujah. Now, he says, when he talks about the spiritual rock, he was having Exodus 17 verse 6 in mind. Let's look at Exodus 17 verse 6. Exodus 17 verse 6. Let's see if it is the same thing. Exodus 17 verse 6. And 17. Look at verse 6. It says, "Behold, I will stand before you on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, and the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord amongst us or not?" Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, what was Paul about to do? Paul is about to give explanation to this. And he said that rock is who? Christ.
Did Moses say the rock is Christ? Moses said so. Because
where did Paul get the rock as in Christ from?
Because it's from Moses.
Remember I said Moses will give them the word. And give them, because they don't believe. The reason why Moses give them the laws and the symbols or the figure was because they did not believe the message. So Moses has given them the message that the rock is Christ. But because they rejected it, he will not give them the symbol. Do you want us to see that? Deuteronomy chapter 20, 32. So Moses will not explain anything. I mean, Paul's explanation is going to come from who? Moses. You see, so in the kingdom of God, there's no invention, there's no new revelation. It's the same revelation for Moses.
That was what I just explained. Hallelujah. Did you get that?
There's no new, my own revelation. No. Do you understand? It's the same Moses. Deuteronomy 32, some people are already there. Let's see. He said, give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as rain drops on the tender herbs. He says, and I shower on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His walls are perfect. He says, did you see? This is
the gospel. He says, he is the rock. His walls are perfect. For all his ways are just. Justice. Did you see that? And a God of truth and without injustice.
Hey! Moses told them without injustice,
and yet Moses told them, if you do this, you will die. But he said, there's God without injustice. Meaning because they rejected his message. Did you get that? Because they rejected his message, he gave them what? The law. He spoke to them in the way he did. He said, this is the book of Deuteronomy tells you of Moses' teachings. Now that these are Moses' teachings. He says, for all his ways are justice. The God of truth doesn't enjoy. He says, righteous and upright is he. Where do you think the servants will now get the right hand of God, the soul of righteousness? Where will you see Paul will not be at the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Because he gets it for where? From Moses. Moses spoke about Christ. Moses spoke about these things, but because they rejected him, he gave them what they had. This is that thing. Now, can you ask why Moses gave them the rock and water from the rock? What does the rock and water mean? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, let's look at that. Let's look at it. It says the rock is Christ. Look there, what about the water that came from the rock? What did they do to the water? They drank. What was it supposed to mean? That because they rejected something, because they rejected what the rock is, they didn't even understand. They all drank water. They did not understand what it means. What is the water of Christ? What is the rock of Christ? Hallelujah. You see, Moses will tell them, the Lord is your, he says, the rock of your salvation. Joshua will say the same thing. God is the rock of our salvation. Where did you get the fact that Jesus is the rock of our salvation from? It was from the Old Testament writings. It was not invented from heaven. No. Yahweh will say the same thing.
Hallelujah.
Did you hear that?
Hallelujah.
Now, he says, let's look at this. From the scripture, the water of Christ, in its figurative uses, is used to explain the Spirit of God.
John 7:37. You know, Yahweh just said, I am the living water. Hallelujah. He who drinks of me
will never go thirsty again.
John 7:37. Can we be there? Hallelujah. When he talks about the spiritual meat, the spiritual food, he tells them, your father ate manna, we are dead. They are dead. Hallelujah. Meaning the miracle signs and wonders are not in. You were posting to me. You forget, man. He posts to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, I am the bread of life.
Listen to that. So because they rejected the bread, even if you read from Exodus, Moses told them to keep the bread for all generations. He told them, this bread, you eat it every day. Listen. And that is where Jesus will now get the word from when he said, give us this day our daily bread. Meaning, did you get here most where Jesus will get that prayer from?
Are you understanding me?
So he tells them they should take that bread. You don't carry over the bread. But yet, those people don't know to carry over the bread. He told them to take another bread for as a memorial and put it by the side of the tabernacle forever. As a memorial. That was the bread was talking about referring to Christ. Do you understand me? So if you now get to the throne, you now see the explanation. Now they all, he spoke to them about Christ. But yet, they were not interested. They were generally the bread they would eat. Did you get that? Did you get that? So the explanation would not be they never left Egypt. They were just, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying today? Are you understanding me?
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So let's look at,
I said John 7:37. We're rounding up now. John 7:37. It says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Let's now see what the water is. He says, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit.
He calls the Spirit water. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Whom shall we receive? Whom, those who believe on him will receive. So, who? Those of us, those here, out of my belly, it's not from your belly, it's Christ. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Once a believer is not fasting again, or is somebody getting me, I say, bro, we leave this thing out of your belly.
Glory to God.
Release this rhema. Let's go. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So John 7, he says, so automatically the waters of Christ is the Spirit.
You understand me?
You can also read John 4:14 when he was talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Now, if you look at Isaiah 44, that's Isaiah just now, Ezekiel spoke about Ezekiel 36, from verse 24 to 26. Ezekiel 36. Let's see how Ezekiel spoke about it. Are you Ezekiel 36? I'm there. I read from verse 24. It says to 26. It says, for I will take you from the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into one land, into your own land, sorry. I'll sprinkle you clean water, and you shall be clean. It's not that God will start sprinkling you water. I'm meant for baptism of water. No. I will cleanse you from all your feet. If you come and say, it's baptism of water, you are like the Pharisee. You don't understand the language of the Old Testament. Hallelujah. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness. Can water cleanse somebody from filthiness? No. And from all your idols, I will give you a new heart. Now, he's not giving them explanation. I'll give you a new heart. And I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll take away the heart of stone out of your flesh. I'll give you the heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you. That's what he's talking about. Do you understand me? So, when he talks about the water of God, he refers to the spirit of God. Isaiah 44, we'll look at this Ezekiel very well. I thought we'll do that today, but we will not be. Hallelujah. Isaiah, let's go down to Isaiah quickly. Isaiah 44, from verse 1. Look at Isaiah 44. Isaiah 2 spoke about it. Look at it. It says, Yet now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen, thus says the Lord God, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you? Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jerusalem, whom I have chosen. Look at verse 3. I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and flood on the ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants. That was the explanation. Did you see? But when I read, God will pour water, God will wet the ground. No, I'm talking about the spirit. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what Moses prefigured, listen, what Moses prefigured when he gave them water from the rock was, the rock was Christ. The water that they drank inside was the spirit that will be in them. Now tell them what Christ will do, which is what the indwelling of the spirit. Did you get it? That was what the rock is. The rock is not, I will cleave to the old rugged rock. I'm exchanging someday for a crown. No! Did you get the explanation now? It's not to the whole rugged cross. To the cross. No! The cross is Christ. We are in Christ. The water from the rock is the spirit in our heart. Did you see the message? Did you see the writing? But the Pharisees, because they don't understand the writings, the language, they will take it. It's a problem when you begin to use a figure of speech literally. You understand? It's a problem. It's lack of good education. Because you are taught in school to leave figure of speech as figure of speech. Hallelujah. Jesus is that lamb. Jesus is a lamb. He's a lamb. You just tell me, he's a lamb. Are you crazy? He's the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, but the lamb is a figure of speech. Don't use it literally. You don't understand me? Eh? Hallelujah. So how do you know a figure of speech when you study the scriptures? You know a figure of speech when you study the scriptures by this. Listen. When a sentence is impossible, you should know that a figure of speech is impossible. When it says, the blood of bulls that sacrifice wash their sins. You know it's not possible for a blood of goats to wash off sin. You should know that it is a figure of speech. No blood cannot wash away sin because sin originally is spiritual. Do you understand me? So therefore, if blood cannot wash away sin, that means the blood that fell from the cross of Calvary and went to the ground did not wash away sin. What wash away sin? It's spirit. So the blood of Christ is the spirit of God in our hearts. And now we're going to talk about, after this teaching, that's what we're going into, repentance and forgiveness of sins in the New Testament. Hallelujah. So we look at it. Hallelujah. Repentance. What does it mean to repent? Repentance, just change your mind. Change it, bro. Is yet change up. Just change up. Hallelujah. Just change up. I don't think I'll be saying, oh God, if you put my hand like this, let blood fall. Hallelujah. So the blood of Christ is the spirit of God in our heart. Hebrews chapter 9. We'll look at it also. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So this is what has happened to the man in Christ. He has the spirit of God. John 14:16. I'll pray the Father give another comforter, right? But 18. Hallelujah. I will come to you. Hallelujah. I will come to you. Verse 23, I and the Father will make our home in you. Hallelujah. Menu. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Don't you know that your bodies are the
temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwell in you. Do you see that? Did you see? Romans 8 verse 15. Hallelujah. Have the Spirit of God. Also, speaking of the new birth, Moses gave them the tabernacle. Well, this is where I'm going to stop.
We'll continue next week from here.
So Moses, he's speaking about the new birth. Moses gave them the tabernacle. When you hear Paul call temple, the temple, you are the temple of God. What did you think he's getting the word temple for? Temple is that old Hebrew word for tabernacle. Do you understand? Tabernacle. That's what he calls it for. So no word was invented new. You understand? Temple. It's like the temple of God. Tabernacle. So what was the reason for the tabernacle? Because of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in speaking of the new birth, Moses will give them the tabernacle to prefigure the man in Christ. Paul in his explanation will call the believer the temple of God.
We'll continue from here next week.
Just
open your mouth and thank God for what you've heard.